Okay, now we're going to talk about some definitions of sexual abuse, and that will be in pages 3 and 4 of your staff training manual. Again, fill in the blanks. Sexual abuse is any sexual activity engaged in without consent or the ability to understand the consequences of consent, which proves to be harmful and which exploits a person to meet the needs of another person. And we're going to talk about types of sexual abuse. The next fill-in-the-blank types of sexual abuse. First of all, contact. Contact. And contact involves, obviously, physical contact with the child or adolescent. And as you see in your teacher's manual or in your staff training manual, the different categories of contact are very severe, severe, and least severe. And please note that the word severe is included in each one of those categories. There is no such thing as sexual abuse that is not severe, even if it includes something you might consider mild or moderate. Any time sexual boundaries are violated, especially with a child or an adolescent, it creates severe damage in that child or adolescent's life. So contact is one form of sexual abuse. The next type of sexual abuse is interaction. And this is a little bit more difficult for people to point to and say something's wrong, I've been damaged. But in my experience, I've found that sometimes it's the interactive abuse that is as destructive or as damaging as far as how a person perceives themselves as the physical contact. First, we're going to talk about verbal abuse. And this is when a child is directly verbally solicited for sexual purposes, and there's a lot of subtle innuendos that take place in the home or in the environment, and frequently sexual practices are described to children, and repeated use of sexual language occurs around a child, and so their entire environment is verbally very sexual. The next form of interactive abuse is visual. And this is where a child is exposed repeatedly to pornography or intentionally exposed to sexual acts or genitals. Sexually provocative attire is part of the visual environment of the child, and a lot of inappropriate attention is paid to their body or clothing for the purpose of sexual stimulation of the perpetrator. And then the final area is interaction, is relational. And I think that this one is an area that's so subtle, it's actually very difficult to even point to say, there, that's it, that's what's wrong. But this is when physical sexual boundaries are violated in a relational context. It's where there's a lot of intrusive interest in the physical development of the child, sometimes use of enemas, and oftentimes the child is used as a spouse surrogate. Where the mother needs a confidant, needs a friend, needs someone to shoulder her emotional needs, needs someone to shoulder her loneliness needs, her relational needs. And what happens is that the child grows up, and the first time they express interest in someone else, they almost feel internally as if they're having an affair. They're very confused about what it is to be a functional man or a functional woman. They're confused about what the relationship is about. And this one creates probably as much confusion as any other. There's a poem in your manual called Powerful Words, and I'd like for you to stop the video, take time to read this poem, and then we will return and talk about the damages resulting from sexual abuse.